Two of Astrology Studio for Aries for 2019. Let's pick up where we left off regarding the conjunction of Chiron and Cilicia. As I mentioned, that is part of a much wider, more complex aspect pattern. A square, compound square, 2 points in Aries, and then 2 points in Capricorn. And by the way, quite a bit going on between Aries and Capricorn. That's where most of the astrology is happening right now. There are several sets of squares that connect these two signs, which are for all practical purposes functioning as one sign right now. Only with a lot more, let's say, borrowing from the Rocky Horror Picture Show, dynamic tension. Than one sign. There's a lot in this square, a lot of energy, and there is a lot that needs to be expressed. So every time you hear me say the word square, you should hear in your mind express, meaning to let out of your system, to vent, to make happen in some way. And there's a whole little subtopic I've got in a little while associated just with Chiron and Aries and venting, because Chiron and Aries in particular needs a vent. We'll get to that in a bit. When the Me Too movement broke out in 2017, I believe it was, as is well publicized, I was skeptical of the whole thing, and the perspective that I was skeptical from was that of having sat with women for 25 years, listening to their stories of abuse and incest and assault and rape, and some men, mostly women, but there have certainly been quite a few men. And the things I was hearing, reading about in the news and on Twitter bore no resemblance to any healing process that I was familiar with or that any of my colleagues were familiar with in terms of a way to actually heal something. But we could look at that in itself as a kind of a healing crisis. We could look at that in itself as an eruption of a certain kind that in itself was calling attention to a need for healing. Course Miracles 101, when there is that kind of thing going on, it is just calling out for love. Difficult though it is to love under such circumstances, as again referencing A Course in Miracles, well, where do you think the love is needed? Your role is to be able to provide, you who do this work, to be able to bring positive attention, healing, and love into any situation. The thing that I found to be the most conspicuous in terms of what was missing was a discussion of family. The problems that our society has around sexuality all begin on the level of the family. They don't begin in school. They don't begin on the casting couch. They don't begin in frat houses. They begin in the family. And the family scene in most places tends to be a scene of sexual repression. And it also tends to be a scene where there is going to be some abuse, humiliation, neglect, and dishonesty. So what we need in our families is positive attention. We need honesty. We need good information, and we need to respect one another. And that includes respecting rather than exploiting or suppressing or ignoring or shaming the sexuality of children. Most children are in some way sexual. This is well documented, just about by every branch of psychology and sociology, and just observing the human race. But we have a way of making it mandatory that we have to ignore that. And in that ignorance, we end up with a lot of injury, pain, and suffering. And where the family angle comes in to the discussion of Chiron plus Salacia in Aries is from Capricorn. Capricorn is at the south end of your chart. In astrology, that means up. And so Capricorn is the 10th place from Aries, sometimes called the 10th house. I will use house and place interchangeably. And in the 10th place, we find matters of family, and we find matters of the dominant parent. This translates later in life into matters of governance and authority. And it happens that as Chiron and Salacia were moving into your sign, two minor points that, again, are not written about in the New York Post, Quaoar, Q-U-A-O-A-R, and Pholus were moving into Capricorn. As with your sign, which includes a centaur, Chiron, and a distant outer planet out by Pluto, Salacia, what's going on in Capricorn also involves a centaur, high-intensity, healing-oriented, called Pholus, and then an outer planet out by Pluto, this called Quaoar, Q-U-A-O-A-R. And it happens that Pholus and Quaoar and Capricorn and the 10th all involve family. They all involve the what Wilhelm Reich calls in a book that I consider to be indispensable reading, The Function of the Orgasm, which is really a political study. The Function of the Orgasm by Wilhelm Reich. Reich says that the family is the miniature authoritarian state. And in the style of 10th and Capricorn, this emerges into the corporate state, the government state, the state of society, the state of the world that we live in. But it starts in the family household, and the family household tends to be an authoritarian environment. It also tends to be a humiliating and abusive environment that that works on principles that would be considered cruel and inhumane were they generally knowingly applied to the wider society. Thing is, they are. Now, when we connect these four planets, and they are all now within about 1 degree, so this is very high intensity thing going on right now. Almost too much for most people to bear, and we are short on the maturity that we need to be able to handle these subjects in a coherent and respectful and communicative way. But hopefully in presentations like this, we begin to get some orientation for how that might look and how that might feel. But if we follow the astrology chart and we see this remarkable four-part compound square from the Aries point to the, you might call it the Capricorn point, the very early degrees of Capricorn, we find out that the healing crisis around sexuality and the underlying problems connect to family. They connect straight to Pholus and to Quaoar, because that is the square. It's Chiron, Salacia, and Aries, Pholus, Quaoar, and Capricorn. So now we've got this thing where we're needing to work with many variables simultaneously. Now, fortunately, I've been thinking about this stuff for this particular pattern now going on 2 years. And when I first looked at it, it's like being handed some new kind of hieroglyphics. I'd never heard of Salacia and Quaoar I've been onto for a while, so I'm old friends with Quaoar, old friends with Pholus, And then gradually it began to emerge what was going on. And I would suggest that if we're looking for information about the healing crisis associated with sexuality, we need to look at our families. And when we look at our families, we are likely to find dark things that we didn't want to find, whatever those things are. Who was in some way abused? Who was neglected? Who was incested? What are the secret abortions that happened? Who is whose parents for real? Now that we're in the age of DNA testing, people are making all these discoveries that their father is not their father, or their sister is only their half-sister. And they're finding out that, in fact, the milkman did it. There should be a book written about these. It would be a very fascinating book of the revelations that have come. And this is all part of the suppression and the secrecy of the simple truth of sex and what it is. And basically, the damage is done when we are children. The predispositions are set up, and nobody's problems begin at age 16. And the thing here is that to address any of this, it's necessary to then go back in time and back in kind of concentrically in to yourself and find out who you were and basically figure out what happened to you. Now, on one level, not everyone was abused. Not everyone had something horrendous happen to them. It's hard to say how many did, probably half. However, borrowing a bit from Alice Miller, the total condition of the family life and of society's life is to humiliate and suppress. And by the way, the humiliation and suppression is, at least in the theory of Dr. Reich, not specifically about sex itself. This is very interesting, I think. What Reich says is that the natural vitality and sexuality of children is suppressed not for its own sake, but because it makes kids more manageable. That a sexually suppressed kid will be less vital, less curious, less excited about life, less physical, and that's more convenient for the parents. So though it may seem like some evil Catholic plot, and sometimes it is, what we're really talking about is making children more manageable. So they may not even be a conscious intent to suppress sexuality, though very often there is some conscious shaming. Don't do that. You're bad. No touching. Blah, blah, blah. All this. And so you will know something about your, inventory of what occurred to you. And because of this contact, this mutual aspect going on right now, Chiron, Salacia, Pholus, Quaoar, you may be experiencing a kind of an eruption of awareness. Now, the important thing with the eruption of awareness is to not immediately jump onto Twitter and join the tribe, but rather to keep the personal boundary personal. Stay on the personal side of the boundary and not immediately jump to associate with or identify others, because they're not doing the work for the most part. It is a public relations campaign, and it is not the healing room. It is not the kiva. It is not the healing space. It is not a sacred space. It is not a space where anything constructive is likely to happen. I'm both sorry and not sorry to say. I'm not sorry to say it because there is the potential for real healing and progress in the healing space. And so if you bring yourself there and you designate a process for yourself, you designate a journey, you will be able to clear what it is that hurts you and that ails and alienates you from other people. Part of the problem here is that these sexual injuries are injuries as well to one's capacity to love and to feel. And when the capacity to love and feel is injured, that creates alienation. The alienation can be useful. It can serve a purpose, which is the purpose of not being vulnerable. Well, why is that a purpose? Well, it happens that being vulnerable is not a comfortable position for many people to be in, and then therefore it is avoided. So to be able to do any of this, there's a necessary prerequisite of vulnerability and of being open, and that means subjecting yourself possibly to additional injury. It means the possibility of working your way through a process of companions or healers, teachers, and guides until you find someone or an approach, which is likely to be a hybrid of your own discoveries, that works for you. So there's no guarantees here, and there's no there's no promise of protection except from your awareness, your willingness to bring yourself present into your life and to begin by being your own space holder. Now, what is so interesting about Aries among all of these other things, and I mean, I'm utterly amazed by this whole constellation of points, is that during your birthday season this year, Vesta has entered Aries. Vesta is about a few different things. One of them is devotion, often devotion to healing, also devotion to tending the sacred flame within. And this sacred flame, indicated, represented by the chevron, the symbol of Vesta is a chevron. It's a thing that holds a fire. And the fire is the sacred, creative, and sexual flame. And this is a true blessing to have Vesta moving through this whole constellation of points. And so really the reality is now this is Chiron, Salacia, Vesta in Aries, which is being in a way infused or activated by Pholus, Quaoar, and Capricorn. Now in Capricorn, let's briefly touch upon these, and then we'll move a little deeper into Capricorn and check out an event there that's happening, because it's another one that's just astonishing. I could probably do a whole day workshop here. I'm going to try to keep this thing under 10 parts. Is that Pholus and Quaoar represent two different approaches to tracing family lineage. You might think of Pholus as the local one, me plus three generations. So this goes back to your great-grandparents, you, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents. Those are the four generations involved. And you can learn a lot by studying just you out to your grandparents. You're going to have a hologram of the kind of a representative sample of what you need to know. And so not everyone can even name all their great-grandparents. I'd be surprised if I can name all my great-grandparents at this point. I'm going to try that as an exercise. If we don't even know these immediate ancestors, right, the immediate ancestors, we're missing a lot of information. And so there's a lot to explore when you go out to your parents, their siblings, their parents, and their siblings, and their parents. And you're going to find out a lot in that territory. And this involves being nosy. You're going to need to nose around and find out, fill in missing information, talk to old people. You're going to need to, if you want to pursue this in some way, be open and vulnerable and encourage them to be open and vulnerable. I mean, and I also realize that it's, may seem like the weirdest thing in the world to have a conversation about sex and religion with your grandma or your great aunt, but we're in special territory right now, and we're in territory where the potential for healing is immense. And I think the presence of Vesta in this equation is just phenomenally beneficial and a symbol of what is possible. Now, one of the reasons why there is such an aversion to the discussion of sexual healing is because there is so much darkness around this. But while I was recording the last segment, literally while I was recording it, like in the last 10 minutes talking about Salacia, Kirsti Melto in Finland, she's one of our kind of minor planet correspondents. This is a astrologer who is completely dedicated to the minor planet thing, in case you're wondering where there is one. She writes a monthly column for Planet Waves. She writes, "I would appreciate your opinion and thoughts about Salacia, and should I try to write something on the following, or just leave it be? ? To break the suspense, the answer is yes. Definitely write it. Quote, could sexual abuse of children and pedophilia be one of the dark manifestations of Salacia? Is the conjunction of Chiron and Salacia bringing the subject on the surface and into to the surface and into the discussion, and thus also offering healing? The subject is very relevant now in Finland. I think it would be important to write about it, but she feels it's above her abilities. I don't think so, actually. So one of the things we're seeing is an eruption, and one of the things that Pholus represents is eruption. Pholus is the genie that you can't put back into the bottle, and it's also preferable not to leave the genie in the bottle in the first place. And so where there's Pholus, there's going to be this energy of something comes out and it keeps coming out and out and out and out and out and out for a while and can't really be contained. It just has to be dealt with and lived with. And I think that a lot of the fear of handling these questions, which are so integral to the overall healing process, because sexuality is so integral to the total human experience, is that when this thing is popped open, when this bottle is opened, there's no telling what's going to come out, and there's no telling when it will end. And most people are not equipped for that. It's just too much. It's just too much. And so this is why I think there's a lot of aversion. And there's also the aversion to the idea that it's going to be too much because we don't know what's going to come out, or the sensation that there is something so dark. Only what happens is that it then forces its way to the surface of consciousness and it erupts in unhealthy, unsavory ways. And so really it's a question of an explosive toxic process leading to healing, or a conscious, aware, informed process leading to healing. Which one would you want if you could choose? Now, the thing to know about Chiron, and you know, these general guides about Chiron are going to be very helpful for you, is that the Chiron thing always knocks on the door gently, taps on the shoulder gently, and will continue to try to get your attention in subtle ways. And when you give it your attention, there's a positive benefit. You can work with this healing force. If the summonses, the callings, the beckonings are ignored, then they'll become more intense, and then ultimately there'll be some kind of a system breakdown. And so it is well worth the energy and the time to take the early warnings, the early invitations to the healing process, and go with them rather than to ignore them, right? And I recognize that this is a taboo subject, and that to engage the subject is in itself taboo. Anyone in our society who shows any interest in sex other than, clicking on a porn video or, reading the 10 hot new positions in Cosmo when it comes out in May, risks being called a pervert. The judgment from sexually aware to pervert can happen in like 1/200th of a second. And so you need to be aware that there is that there is generally a taboo against being sexually aware or devoting your healing bandwidth to this. But I wouldn't be going, excuse me a second, on at this length had I not figured out there's going to be no getting around this one way or the other. Because the combination of Chiron and Pholus is so potent, and these two centaurs are just it's just like megawatts that can focus into a kind of a ray beam. There's no avoiding this subject matter, and it will help to inform yourself. Part of the problem that we have with the whole discussion of sexuality and sexual healing is a lack of vocabulary, a lack of fluency, and a lack of understanding of how to have the conversation. And I'll say that one of the ways to have the conversation, should you need to have it with a parent or with a partner or a child, is to define a space to have the conversation. That space, in my opinion, should never be in a bedroom. I would suggest that the space be either the kitchen table or the living room. Kitchen table has a practical feeling to it. It's the general meeting area in a home. In terms of couples having this conversation, the bedroom is not the place to have it, and nor do you want to be having many elements of this conversation away from the altered state of any erotic charge at all. So you want to be able to speak in a normal tone of voice, and not under the influence of either cannabis or alcohol. Very important. You want to be able to have the ability to access your wholly natural thoughts, feelings, and emotions. Cannabis and alcohol have their place in the erotic journey, but it's not in the part where the challenging conversation about what happened and how you feel and what your experience is, or what you haven't told your mother, your brother, your father, your partner, or your child. And these are the conversations that we need to have. So I suggest you set a space, define a space that includes a time with all devices and phones turned off and no guests expected. And in the spirit of Vesta, light a candle, and the candle becomes the little symbol of the Vestal flame. And then have the conversation. It is better to have these conversations without an accusatory tone, speaking in plain English. This is how I feel. This is what happened. This is what I think happened. This is what I want to ask you about. This is what I need. And bring as little charge or spin to that as possible in that space. There has to be trust cultivated. This includes trust among people where there has been a breach of trust of some kind. And I know this may seem like the most difficult thing to do, but your self-actualization depends upon it. And you have to trust enough to be able to reveal yourself to someone when you're saying something like, I was hurt. This is who I really am. This is how what you did impacted me. This is how what you did to our child impacted me. That requires trust. And one of the ways that you can maintain the trust is to be cool about it and to learn, and this takes practice, how to state the facts and let the facts speak for themselves. And one of those facts might be, I feel hurt. But it's better to say that from a place where being hurt has not completely seized your mind, your body, and your feelings. All right. That gets us started on this subject. There I think needs to be like this much material coming out on a weekly basis. By the way, I try to do this at the end of every Planet Waves FM. If you're wondering where I open up the Kiva and define the sacred space of healing around this subject, it's usually in the last 45 minutes of Planet Waves FM that comes out every Sunday night. Let's talk a little bit more about Capricorn. On this current plan, I'm going to go on for about 10 more minutes, and then I'm going to do something I rarely do with these readings, is I'm going to do part three, because I want to cover the rest of the astrological wheel. I know I've placed a lot of emphasis on the family connection to Chiron, Salacia. If this is kind of like trying to explain Game 7 of the World Series to someone who's never heard of baseball. You know, because astrology has those moments where things just leap up and out, and they're talking. So this one is. So Capricorn is a very important sign, and that's because it represents the structure of society. And where you have Capricorn, if you're Aries rising, 10th whole sign house, or if you're Aries sun, 10th solar house, so you may have a different 10th house depending on your rising sign. But for our purposes, we're going to count 10 places and use that as the kind of big tarot wheel in the tarot wheel in the sky. We're about to have a very big conjunction in Capricorn. This conjunction's been building a long time. It's been building since 2008, when Pluto first entered Capricorn. We had the subprime mortgage crisis, and society was going through one meltdown after the next. And this aspect has a history. The history includes that while Pluto was making its way across your 10th house. By the way, let's just take a little bit of a career side trip here. The 10th represents career, vocation, profession, reputation, responsibility, right? All those things. It starts off with the family, the authoritarian miniature state, the relationship to government and corporation, but it's also the way that you govern your life, the responsibility that you take up in the world. There's quite a bit about service calling in the 10th house, and then we will find with imagination, information about what your purpose, what your calling, what your chosen mission is on the planet. And so to have all this activity in Capricorn is to suggest that there is quite a bit going on this level. And it has been a restless trip since 2008, when Pluto first entered Capricorn and the subprime mortgage crisis became the Big Short, became the Great Recession. But now we are at a peak of this energy, mainly because Saturn entered Capricorn about a year and a half ago. I guess that would have been in late 2017, I think December 15th, 2017. So that's like 16 months ago, approximately. And this was like a major wave of intensity. And For one thing, it is really worth using Capricorn, Saturn in Capricorn and Saturn in the 10th, for your purposes, right? You get a lot of power with Saturn moving through your 10th house. There is a charmed quality to Saturn in the 10th house, and you happen to have Capricorn there, and it is so that Saturn in its domicile. It is a very well-placed Saturn. Meanwhile, what's going on is Saturn is gradually, while it's presenting you with these opportunities, it is working its way toward Pluto. And the Pluto conjunction with Saturn takes place on 1/12/20. So that is a date to mark. And there is, we're in as of today, remarkably, a 3-degree conjunction between Saturn and Pluto. That's just incredible that it's so close. Saturn's about to go retrograde later in the month of April. It's going to go retrograde for a while. Then it's going to go direct. And then we're on course for the the conjunction of Saturn and Pluto. And so that is likely to come with a sense of urgency, worldly urgency, a sense of needing to do something more important. There's likely to be, based on this whole rather incredible collection of planets in Capricorn, a sense that you must do something big with your life. There is a calling that you must hear and follow. But I would remind you that one of the things that blocks the ability to follow a calling and that blocks the ability to express your creativity is sexual injury. And so there's a relationship between doing the sexual healing work and the relational healing work and the family constellation work and really seeing who is who and what was what and who did what to whom and what's the association between sex, authority, and power and shaming and humiliation, Capricorn themes, and guilt, Capricorn theme. What is all this doing together? So there's a relationship between handling all of that in a conscious and loving way and succeeding. Because as you handle all of this stuff in a, or begin to, even beginning counts, it's a long way to the end, but focusing the purpose, focusing the beginning is very, very helpful. Because first of all, you begin to let off pressure, you can be more honest with yourself, and it is easier to let go of the agendas of others when you are more honest with yourself. So, the conjunction of Saturn and Pluto will be, it's approaching, you're likely to be feeling some intimation of what this is about. And it's really going to be helpful if you listen to the calling, the ambition, the intention that's developing now before it is imminent, before it is so urgent that you must act on it. So we've talked a lot about therapy process here. Let's talk about professional life building process. What colors your parachute recommends having the job search basically be going all of the time. Now, the what color is your parachute method predates the internet, right? Long, long before the internet. But in a way, the gig economy, as it's being called, necessitates more focus on direction, more focus on what is right. There are likely to be more opportunities and occasions to reach out, not necessarily for the great gig in the sky, but for the many smaller ones, and also focusing the intentions of what you want to accomplish, what you want to do. And if you think of your profession as what responsibility you want to hold, this is an interesting way to think of your profession. What do you want to be responsible for? 10th house, pure 10th house. And to make these decisions and to begin to position yourself early. So there's Capricorn has been the home of Saturn now for a year and a half, and Pluto for 11 years, and Quasar and Pholus have been there for a while. So on one level, it may seem like, well, this is all old hat. There's not really any beginning here. But the beginning point is the conjunction. The beginning point is the one point of contact conjunction between Saturn and Pluto that takes place in early 2020. And so this is all building to something. And even though it's happening late in Capricorn, which is late in the story, there's this perpetually young quality about Capricorn, the sign of old age, that is worth tapping into. And though the whole thing's happening late in Capricorn, this is like coming from behind at the end and clinching, you know, the thing that you want, the purpose that you want. And this is meaningful no matter what your age. I know that there's relatively few teeny boppers listening to this. I wish there were a couple of more. They might benefit from some of these ideas. I'm aware that most of my listeners, hello, are a bit older than the median age, and I would encourage you to take a young approach to the whole idea of responsibility, accomplishment, and vocation. Tune into your calling. Begin to orient your life on your calling. Something is calling you with all of this going on in Capricorn, and it's going to be calling louder and louder. Just looking at this chart, I'm going to give you two versions of the chart. One I'll say Aries version one. It's going to be a simplified version, and the other I'll say Aries version two. It'll be a little more complex version. I'm looking at the second one doesn't exist yet, but you'll see that there's this impressive amount of energy in Capricorn. And the thing I would leave you with is, you want this to be your choice. You want as much of your decisions to be the decisions that guide you, not to be reacting to what happens in the world. Do everything you can to put yourself in the position to choose. This is Vision Quest. I'll be back with part three today or tomorrow.